And just keep lifting them up, all right? Hebrews 10:25, very quickly. Hebrews 10:25, this is what I mentioned prior to Sunday school. Some of the big wigs and the big denominations going along with the tyrannical liberals in this country saying it's better for us that we don't go to church. Tony Evans quoted all the time in Southern Baptist Lifeway Sunday school literature. You know, these popularity does something to a preacher. Goes to their head and the money comes rolling in. You get book royalties, you get speaking fees. You're the guy that everybody hires to speak at your church, and they pay you well for this. And that tends to go to people's heads, meaning that they can't come out and say things that are controversial, that somebody might not like. So let's say things that everybody's going to like and not ruffle any feathers, not, you know, offend anybody. And he made a statement, and some people were just climbing all over him for it, because he said that corporate worship, coming to church, robs us from personal worship. That ain't true. We come to church, some people come to church, maybe one time a week. But some of those people worship God every day. Every day. Having their Bible time, having their prayer time. Hebrews 10:25. In fact, let's go back to 22 very quickly. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. God knows our hearts. He knows whether or not we're faking or not. He knows if we're true. And with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The pure water is the Word. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Aren't you glad God is faithful, even sometimes when you're not? Amen? And here it is. Here's the point of what He's going to say in verse 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Being in church, right? Nobody's in here drinking. Nobody's in here snorting cocaine. Nobody's in here looking at women on the internet. Nobody's in here doing a bunch of sins. This is a good place to be, is it not? It's easy to be a sanctified Christian here in God's house. It's hard when we leave, because that's where the devil shows up. We get out in the world, get amongst worldly people who are doing things like that, and it's hard to stay away from that. Okay? So we come here to consider one another, to provoke other people unto love and to good works. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to love one another. We're here to uplift one another, pray for one another. And then he says, there's a colon at the end of verse 24, meaning Paul's saying, I ain't done. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, meaning it should increase, as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The day of the Lord's appearing in the air. Then it's going to be all over for us. No more striving, no more personal wars going on. And I'm going to talk about, again, I had my message already laid out yesterday, and got an email from somebody, and while I'm reading the email, God's changing the message, which I'm fine with, but it has to do with our enemies. And when you got saved, God did not eliminate all of your enemies all at once, did he? He didn't take them all away all in the same day. He has a process, and it's in the Bible. He told Israel, I'm going to do this little by little, or by little and little is how the Bible puts it. And that's where we get that phrase, little by little. By little and little, he says, that's how I'm going to remove your enemies. The older we get, the more we see that. Until toward the end of our life, there's really only one enemy left to deal with. The last enemy is death. Once we get past that one, we are home free. Amen? So, I'm still not 100%. That's what I'm going to preach, but I'm thinking that's what it is. So pray about that. Revelation 2:3 goes along similarly with that. The idea of faint not. What does it mean to faint? Phil and I were talking about people's whose job requirements doesn't require that they have a lot of brains. And we both agreed drywall hangers and tapers don't need a lot of brains. That's what we are. Roofers, especially. And you just don't get me on a roof. I'm not good on a roof. I'm very clumsy anyway. I will probably fall off. And when we were scrapping for work one time, Ron had us, you know, that garage he's got next to his house there where he lived on Z Highway. Well, we helped build that, and he had us up there roofing it one day. I'm not a roofer. It was only 101 degrees outside, up on top of a roof, bent over, nailing on shingles. You ever roofed, Brian? Oh. And long about the afternoon, I fell out. I got dizzy, and I thought, I'm going to fall off this roof. And I told the boss, I said, boss, I can't do this no more. He said, it was late in the afternoon. It was almost done. He said, go get in the shade, get you some water. Okay? Fainting on a roof is not something you want to do. Okay? Especially leaning over the edge. So anyway, the idea that we faint not has to do with our labor. We keep working. Why? Because the work has to be done. Why? Because no one else is going to do it. And I've read several things on Twitter this week, people commenting, and one guy saying what I've said for a long time. It's not the government's job to promote the church and evangelize for Jesus Christ. That is not the government's job. That's our job. So if the government refuses to do our job, it's time for us to get up and do it. Amen? And it's easy. Nowadays, it's easy. All you have to do is share something on Facebook, share something on Twitter, share something scripture-related, a sermon you liked or whatever. Post that on your Facebook page and let other people see it. You have contacts that I don't have. You have an outreach that I don't have. And that was the plan all along, is that Jesus saved his disciples. His disciples saved people they know. Those people saved people they know. And it's just spread all over the world. Some people get it wrong, but some get it right. And that was the plan of God. So Revelation chapter 2, this is Paul's letter to the, Christ's letter to the Ephesians. He says in verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. We dealt with that. Verse 3, and hast borne, means you carried burdens. You carried them for yourself, you carried them for other people. You took on the responsibility of a church. Church has needs. People in the church have needs. We've found not only people in our own area that have needs, and we try to help them, but people around the world that have needs. God has given that to us. We have borne that for the kingdom of God. And has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Which means, you didn't kick out, you didn't fall out, You didn't get sick of it, walk away and say, I'm not doing this anymore, forget it. Me and my brother-in-law, Steve, were sent to a house one time, Phil, and it was the impossible house. We were supposed to put insulation in it, and we found it to be the impossible house. How in the world are we going to get up there and get the insulation where we need it? And finally, Steve said, forget it. Although those weren't quite the words that he used. But he said, forget it, I ain't doing it. And we started to get in a van and drive off. But then it occurred to us, we're just going to get sent right back. Got to do it. So we figured out a way to do it, okay? But anyway, has not fainted. Fainting not. Not giving up. Not quitting. Knowing that there's, number one, if you don't do it, nobody will do it, and it won't get done. Number two, if it's important enough, you realize that you have to do it. And I tell you, people, our forefathers in this country had it a lot harder than we had it. Think of those people. If you've ever driven from anywhere in the Midwest to California, anybody ever done that? Driven to California? I have. It's a desert between here and there. Big desert. Old timers did it. They did it in wagons. They did it in old jalopy trucks. The sharecroppers who were run off their farms in Oklahoma ended up, the Okies ended up going to California just looking to pick fruit. Looking to pick up some odd job somewhere just to have enough to eat for the day. They did it. And they did it because there wasn't anything else that they could do. It was the only option. And it, they would say it doesn't take much to do, but there ain't nothing else you can do. So we might as well do it. Our forefathers did it. We can do it. If it's important enough, you'll do it. And you won't faint. God gives you strength. Psalm 27:12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. That fits in with this morning. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. You know, that people can have an influence on us by the things they're saying. You believe that? Do you believe this liberalized media conglomerate in this country? Five major corporations own just about every media outlet in this country. They control what you hear. And they're telling you over and over and over, quit thinking Trump's going to be your president. Get over that idea. They want us to do that. So you know what happened? 1 million men showed up in Washington, D.C. yesterday saying, Biden's not our president. Well, at least they didn't vote for him. So deliver me not. False witnesses rise up. They breathe out cruelty against us. They threaten us. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I worry about the future. I worry about what's coming. These people have a lot of power. They have a lot of control. Even after 4 years of Trump trying to drain the swamp, Swamp Ranch are still there. I talked to Roy's nephew, and he said the Department of Justice is loaded with liberals. Loaded with liberals. And that's why nothing decent gets done in our country anymore. It's all politicized. Okay? But anyway, verse 13, I had fainted. It would have happened unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let me tell you a story about David. And I think David's writing this. And he knows what it's like. Remember there was an issue where the Philistines had invaded Bethlehem. That's David's hometown. And David was very upset about that. And they had built a garrison inside Bethlehem. And they had basically closed off the city, and David couldn't get in. And David was very distressed over this. And he said, oh, what I wouldn't give for a drink of the waters of the wells of Bethlehem. If you remember the story, three of David's mighty men broke through that garrison and pulled up David a bucket of water from the well of Bethlehem and took it to him. David, we want our pastor. We want our king refreshed. We want the light of Israel to not go out. David, here's the water from the wells of Bethlehem. David took that water and he poured it out on the ground. He said, is not this the blood of the men who sacrificed themselves for me to have this water? And he was refreshed just by what they did. And you know what? Sometimes when God makes martyrs out of some, it energizes the rest of them. They get fired up. And they say, that was our beloved Stephen, or that was our beloved Paul. And if you think now you're going to scare me into denying Christ, you just did the opposite. I'm ready to go whooping on somebody. That's what stirred them up. So I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's one thing when the flesh gets weary, but the heart is strong. When the flesh gets weary, but the heart is strong, the heart just seems to find the energy for the flesh. But if the heart gets weary, man, that's a dangerous spot to be in. It's those times when we say, I give up. I quit. I'm ready to cash it in. Okay? So faint not. Isaiah chapter 40. Turn there. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, and Isaiah 40, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You've noticed that Isaiah has 66 chapters. That's because it's a representation of the Bible, even in sort of how it's divided. Old Testament has 39 books. New Testament begins with the 40th book, Matthew. In Matthew, it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, make straight the paths of the Lord. That's what it says in Isaiah 40. So it seems to be divided in that line right there. Shows you the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And here's chapter 40. Starts out verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Who likes biscuits and gravy? God's people like biscuits and gravy. Amen? And I'm talking big homemade biscuits. Not them whop them on the counter biscuits. The homemade ones from scratch where they squish that pig lard in that flour. Make them big, 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 big biscuits like that. And sausage gravy made out of bacon grease or lard. My arteries are hardening already. But we eat that and you're not hungry for a long time. Chicken and dumplings is another one. Why, right? Because those carbohydrates get on us. They fill our stomach up and we're full for a long time. We're satisfied for a long time. That's what they call it, comfort food. And it is. Okay? Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, crying to her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. That's why he said, comfort ye, comfort ye. That's why he said it twice. Comfort ye is Christ coming the first time, and the Holy Ghost. Comfort ye is twice Christ coming the second time with the Holy Ghost. Okay? He's coming twice. So then it says in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Does God take a nap? Does God sleep? Does God close his eyes and daydream? No, there's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. When you feel like quitting. I've told this story, and I've had it happen in different ways various times. But years ago, not too long after I became pastor here, was the first real test of that. Because there was just devils all over me. And they were pressuring me to leave. Just leave. And I don't mean resign my position, go find another job. I mean get in the car and drive away from church, from family, from everything. Had no reason behind it, but it was there. And I spent several days just down in the dumps over this. Got back in a private place and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, not knowing what was going on, not understanding it. And then that still small voice, the Holy Ghost saying, "Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." And it dawned on me, this wasn't about me. It wasn't about me at all. It was about getting me out of the way to get to the sheep. Because once I was out of the way, the sheep are easy. And when I realized that, all of a sudden, I had a strength in me. I could have knocked down 10 men. I would have used a truck to do it, but I could have knocked them down. Okay? And I did. I stood up and I said, "That's not going to happen." God strengthened me. And so, verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount it with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. He's speaking of the people there that he's preaching to. "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." God had compassion even on their physical needs. He loved them enough to take care of those. And then Luke chapter 18. I like this. "The unjust judge and the woman." Women are types of churches. I need to teach that sometime. Go through the Bible and show you various women and how they represent a church. Sometimes a good church, sometimes a bad one. But Luke 18, verse 1, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that the men ought always to pray and to not," what? "Faint." We've even felt like giving up praying. It's useless. It's useless. What's prayer going to do? Rick Warren didn't help the matter. Rick Warren wrote in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, he said, "We ought not as pastors think that prayer alone will revive a dead church." Now, did the Holy Ghost say that? Or did Rick, Professor Rick, say that? The educated elite tell us that. The Holy Ghost did not tell you that. The Holy Ghost told you to pray. Pray and wait. Pray and wait. Pray and wait. And when God is ready to work, God will work in a way that was far better than what you prayed about. Pray and not faint, saying, "There was a judge in a city which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, neither regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." It's sort of like a mosquito in your ear at night. You ever had a mosquito in your ear at night? Can you go to sleep with a mosquito flying around your ear? No. No matter how many times you swat, all you do is hurt your ear, not the mosquito. And it just it vexes you. Can't take it anymore. So he sees this woman as like a mosquito buzzing in his ear. Or one of them big green blowflies in your house. And things fly around 1,000 miles an hour and you can never catch them. Okay? Big green nasty ones. Okay? Hate those things. But he said, I got to put a stop to this. So he said, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wear me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God, who is not unjust, avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? While I'm thinking about that, turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Here's a troubling verse for you. In verse 9, Revelation 6, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Can you imagine in our constitutional republic that people would be killed for thinking that God is real? They could be killed for that. Can we see a day when that's coming? Sure, right after Inauguration Day. Joe Biden has already got planned probably scores of presidential decision directives, executive orders, that's going to undo the last 4 years of what Trump did. We already have. This really irritates me. You've got the people of this country ready to blow a gasket because you've got J.B. Fatsker up in Chicago and Lori Lightloafers up there in Chicago, the mayor, Gavin Newsom, California, Governor of Wisconsin, liberal governor of Wisconsin, liberal governor of Michigan, telling everybody, don't you dare have family gatherings for Thanksgiving. Excuse me. You don't have a right to tell me that. The Supreme Court in Wisconsin overturned their liberal dictator governor's executive orders banning this and banning that. Supreme Court overturned it. And he's angry now that the people won't knuckle under him and do what he commands them to do. You were going to say something, Pam? Yeah, people are only going to take this so long. The county council in St. Louis is against the county executive in St. Louis and suing him and outvoting him on shutting down everybody's business, closing down everybody's work, and then telling us that we can't have people over at our house for Thanksgiving. This is a tradition that goes back to the Christian heritage of our nation. And we're going to hold on to those. And nobody can tell us not to. Now, there might be a price to pay, but I'll pay it. Because they're not going to tell us what to do. Where was I going with that? Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect? I was reading Revelation 6, wasn't I? The fifth seal, verse 9, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and just, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. They both died in the past for believing in Jesus, and they're going to die again for believing in Jesus. It's coming. God's not going to step in and stop that, but he's going to avenge those who've had it done to them. You know what enduring to the end means? Believing God's word till the day you die. They can have, and somebody sent me a plaque. I've got it in my office. They can have my King James Bible when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers. But not a day until. They can't have my Bible. They can't have my gun. They cannot have my faith in my God. They cannot do that. So, God shall avenge his own elect. Back in Luke 18, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Is he going to find people that were faithful to the very end? Huh? Yeah, it is. Shall he find faith on the earth? Question mark. Is he going to find it in you? Purpose. I always tell you, purpose in your heart while things are well, that you're going to ask God to sustain you when things are not well. Because maybe you're like me. Maybe you get easily discouraged. Yes, Gary.
There's a lot of people in church now that are getting hurt.
Yeah.
Yep. And I had to realize, you know, that it wasn't God that was hurting me. It was people. It's people that's doing it.
You know what my mom tried to teach me? I don't know that it took very well, but she tried. She kept seeing me come home crying because the boys in the neighborhood were teasing me, making fun of me, calling me names. She tried to teach me how to fight back. I'm not a fighter. But I've had that in me now for a long time. People telling you you're not good enough to be with them. People telling you that you're not worthy to be like them. And you're not ever going to amount to anything. People tell you that just fills you so much with everything. Okay? But I've got a God. I've got a God. That what he's put in me is real. And it lasts. And if God said, here's what Paul said, that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, who's holding on to who? Are we holding on to Jesus or is he holding on to us? He's holding on to us. It's his workmanship in our lives, not our own. So God is going to do it to those who truly want it done. 2 Corinthians 4. I like this. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's pick up the context. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us all also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, mine is, yours is, Brother Sterling's is, other people's are, their outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inner man keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger every day. And that inner man is what's going to win. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. How many of you know somebody that quit church, quit Christianity, quit the ministry? Pastors quitting. I was doing a conference for Southwest Radio down in Oklahoma City and had the opportunity to go to Noah Hutchings' church on a Sunday morning, and they had an associate pastor that Sunday because just the week before, their senior pastor shot his head off, killed himself. I don't know why. I didn't hear all the details. Somebody wrote me about a pastor of a church that they used to attend. The pastor went out in the middle of a wilderness area, took a gun and shot his head off. And it was because he was being investigated because of all the boys he had been molesting. Guys are fainting all the time. Pastors, ministry leaders. Jerry Falwell Jr. Jerry Falwell Jr. getting caught in all of this family wickedness going on between him and his wife. And I mean, it's wicked stuff. I mean, it's vile stuff. How's he responding to it? He's not repentant. He's trying to sue Liberty University because he was the chancellor of the school making $1 million a year. He's like the guy, you know, the goose that laid the golden eggs? Well, a guy took that goose and made soup out of him. What good does that do? Keep the goose alive. Well, he decided to go against that. So now he's suing Liberty University for defamation of his character so he can get the $10 million retirement package out of him. He's not apologetic. He fainted. He gave up. He quit. And he's trying to blame everybody else for it, but it's nobody else's fault but his. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's the Bible. Do we still believe that? Do we still believe that? Amen. Wait till it gets tough out there. This is all you'll have left. Amen. Father, bless us. Bless your word. Help us, dear God, to faint not. It's in us. The devil knows, God, how to push all of our buttons. Make us do what he tells us to do. We fall for it every time. Father, rarely do we see ourselves as victorious, and yet we see you gaining victory in us and through us every single day. The people surrounding the cross did not see the cross as the victory, but it was. They just didn't see it that way. But it was the greatest victory ever won by a soldier. The death of all of his enemies by means of his own death. So Father, help us to faint not, we pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, Amen.